It is Thursday, the 27th of September, and this is episode 136 of Digital Outbox. Going to start today by saying that me and Ian already had three arguments before the podcast has even started. Hello, Ian.
They weren't arguments. Hi, Chris.
There was pretty much as argument as we get.
We don't get argumentative.
He called me a troll.
But it's true.
Keep telling him I'm not a troll.
Troll, 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 troll. See, that's the laugh you gave me, and it was like, I'm going to have you for that.
I hope you're enjoying your iPhone, though.
It is the best iPhone 5 I've ever had.
Indeed. And probably the best phone that's out there. Wonderful stuff.
It is lovely. It is lovely. And I, as I said to you before, the bit that got me the most is speed. Everybody said it was fast, yeah, but it was like lightning fast.
And you posted up a nice kind of visual review of quite how fast it is. And
a visual review with 2,000 words.
Yeah, but like I said to you, no one read those.
It has but, begun.
But it was good to see it actually in motion, as far as it did look speedy, and like web pages were loading faster than they do on my Mac.
I did say to one of my work colleagues today, who phoned me when I was on holiday, how dare him. But I did say, it's like, I think the iPhone's now the fastest browser in my house. It's scary fast.
Yeah, I still find it clunky using a small form factor for web pages. I mean, but it is better, like, as again, as you said in your little review, that it's better when you have a full-fledged website. It just means a whole lot more, really.
Yeah.
Rather than those mobile versions, which you can understand why they're there. When you're out in the wild, they're often very good to have. Because 3G is still not up to snuff. So.
No.
Quickly on an update on that, I got a message from T-Mobile today saying that I am going to be moved over to the EE network. So they are moving everyone onto the EE network. So although they're trying to sell it as the fast thing there.
So is that just a rebrand?
Well, they're saying it's going to be called EE T-Mobile. It's so screwed up. It's not. Why not just scrap the two? I guess they can't, because they've got too many. They've promised too much or whatever. But they just need to scrap it and start EE, don't they?
They should do. They should just go all in EE.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's where they're headed. I just think it's a shame that Orange has to die.
And that's what I was going to say. The first mistake was like getting rid of Orange. I still think that was the brand.
Yeah, scrap
that won.
T-Mobile and get
so many people would
Orange.
Say. I mean, Orange Wednesday, all that nonsense.
Yeah.
And I mean, are you now going to go
It's still one of the most respected networks in this country, really. It's not considered the cheapest, but it's, you know, considered to be strong. Anyway, there you go. Let's keep on at Apple. So I did mention last week that I thought the maps on it were pretty shocking, and it's not just me. Loads of people have said that it's a bit shocking, and turns out that Apple did have another year left on the agreement with Google, so they didn't have to back out of the maps straight away, and they could have spent the time trying to get themselves more up to speed, but seems like they chose to back away from the maps.
Yeah, there's actually been lots of reporting over the last 2 days, and it's like... It almost changes how the argument, depending on which report you've read, it changes how you view things. So it feels like Apple have taken, you know, at first it felt Apple had taken that kind of hard-nosed, saw that we need this data, we want to be in control. There was still a year left, but we're making that long-term strategic a bit of pain now, because it's still, I mean, I've seen some people say it still feels like a beta. In some ways it is, because of the... I think if you're in certain places, the quality's fine, and you'll be going, what's the big issue? And in other places, you'll be going, I have no maps anymore because it's that bad, or the search quality. I mean, I think I mentioned it last week, but all the other prices in the UK have now appeared back. If you search on maps on the iPhone now, you'll find there's an air price in Glasgow, which shut 10 years ago. It's great.
Yeah.
But then there was another update that came out that said that basically there's been lots of negotiations between Apple and Google. Apple wanted turn by turn, and they wanted the vector maps because of the fast loading. Yeah. And Google said, well, if you want that, we're not really happy giving you the turn by turn, because we've invested a lot, and that's a kind of landmark, tent pole is the word that Apple always use. So it's one of these tent poles for Android. And if you give us better branding and also you throw in latitude, so we can turn latitude on for everybody. And for whatever reason, either one side was pushing for too much, or one side didn't offer enough, Apple went their own way. The bit Sorry, there you go.
No, I was going to say they did go their own way, but yeah, they didn't. They didn't have to do it now. The agreement was, they could have just status quo for a year. Which I guess their argument was, we're falling behind Android. We feel a bit constrained by that, and therefore we're going to pull out now. But it didn't seem sensible.
No, I guess it's they've made a choice. I guess we don't see all the. From a consumer point of view, I think people have been left with a worse product, and that's a disappointing thing. That Apple have made a choice, and yes, they could have made the choice, spent the next year getting it right, and made the change.
I don't think you can ever release maps that are, fully there, but I think you can. I don't know what it's like over in the US, but I would imagine that, the key areas in the US where all their tech teams and tech journalists live, I bet they're all fine. But I've certainly seen some comparisons of how further back in time it is, really. Maybe if Google weren't prepared to give them what they needed in their maps, they had to go and do it themselves. But whatever, it's a bit frustrating, like you say, from a consumer point of view.
But yes. And I guess the other big kind of bit of the story this week was when's Google going to bring the iOS app out?
Mm. And they're not working on it.
they are.
They've just started, basically.
I think the bit that I didn't buy, Google have kind of not officially, but they said they were surprised and taken by surprise by Apple's decision in June to go their own way. And it's like 3 years ago, Apple bought a mapping company. 2 years ago, they bought another one. And a year ago, they bought another one.
But it wasn't their top priority to be working on an app that would, just in case Apple decided to do it.
No.
And in fact, it's not in their interest to get it out too soon, because Apple aren't looking too hot right now on the mapping front.
And I said last week I'd be surprised if they released it quickly. I still think Google will release something at some point.
Well, they are, and we're going to talk about, maybe it's a bit more pertinent now to say that they are upgrading the web-based one. Because at first everyone was saying, well, you can just go to the web to get Google Maps, and that's fine, other than it doesn't integrate into all the other areas of iOS. But also it wasn't fully featured. You couldn't get down to Street View.
It wasn't
as in-depth as well. They're now releasing all those other features onto handsets, basically.
Yeah, so Street View will be on the part of the mobile web edition, which is really good. I mean, they didn't have to do that.
That's a way of them not needing them to get the app, because then genuinely it is a case of you can go and get it on the web.
Absolutely.
Obviously, an apps generally are nicer experiences, but people can wait if they can get the info. But it doesn't stop it doesn't mean you can, as an app developer, you can't integrate properly into those maps. You have to still use Apple's ones. And Google have been announcing other things as well as these mobile web versions there. They're mapping the ocean, and not just like mapping just generally the topography of it. They're actually swimming around with the turtles.
Swimming with the fishes.
But yeah, and it kind of looks like someone took the Google, like one of those Google bikes and thought, I know, I'm going for a swim. I'll take it with me. And that's kind of what it looks like.
And I just thought it was brilliant that in the week that Apple have really been struggling, even just, I know Maps works in certain places and other places it's awful, but they're struggling. Perception out there is like it's a poor quality product, and Google just went, oh, and by the way, we've done with roads, done with streets, we've done inside of shopping malls, we're doing inside of buildings. So if you think Leo Laporte paid $800 to get his podcasting studio all mapped out, so you can now visit his studio and walk all around, we've done all that, let's go for the ocean.
So they're barrier reefs they've started with, because obviously they're the most interesting bits to start with, I guess. what's left? What are we going to do now? Map the sky?
Well, the bit that I just put in was, thump that chest, Google. You deserve it. And it did feel like that. It was like a, yeah.
Look what we can do. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing that I just want to touch on, I am getting so pissed off with Apple fanboys at the moment. Real hardcore. I mean, there's, and I'm trying to remember, Ben Brooks, American blogger, he's trying to be like a John Gruber, right? And he's in one of his posts today, he was trying to argue that flyover was better than street view because you can see the all round the building. And I'm like, I'm in a car, I'm in a street. I don't need to see the back entrance of it. I just want to see where I am, you cock. And I'm reading it thinking this is the worst of like all this kind of all the bloggers around about Apple stuff right now. They just cannot see a failure. They will not allow a failure to take place.
And Apple fails, you know, a lot of the time. And it often, does. You know,
his best quote.
Go on.
Apple have caught Google up by Christmas. And you're like, come on.
No way.
They have no chance of catching up by Christmas. And fair enough, from all, a lot of people in America are saying, see the bug reports they're filling, saying that it's reporting that this building is here, but it's actually here, you know, in the wrong location. They're getting fixed within 24 hours. But the ones where it's actually the wrong listing and stuff, they're not. I mean, it's missing the wrong map tile. Yeah, they're not getting fixed because that's really difficult. And that's going to take, it is going to be years. That is not a couple of months' work. If it's a couple of months' work, we'd have had a better product right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and Apple fanboys, that's one. They're never going to go away. They're never going to go away. So you just have to live with them and just. And also, fanboys have a tendency to go to the next product when too many people start using the product that they were so raving about, when it becomes less of an exclusive area. And Macs are certainly headed that way.
The bit that frustrates me that they're wannabe
John
Grubbers.
They'll become Samsung fanboys eventually.
No, there's a few of them. They're wannabe John Grubbers. They style the blogs the same way. They try and do the links the same way. There's only one John Gruber. He's not as critical as Apple as he probably should be, but he's not sitting there saying, like, you know, maps will be fine by Christmas.
Yeah, he's not calling black white and white black, basically.
Oh, and it's stuff like that, just rage.
Facebook are going to be shutting down face detection in the European Union. So we talked about, I can't believe it's 2 years ago, but we definitely talked about this when they started doing it. So effectively they were using algorithms to search your photos and pick out people that it thought, oh, this is someone you know. Can you confirm that it's this person or whatever? But the Irish courts, I think it was Irish courts, am I right?
Yes.
Yeah, so their data protection commissioner kind of said, no, we want to see that gone. And that kind of counts for Europe, so it's going in Europe. So, and although I found the initial story quite worrying that, you know, Facebook was doing all this, and I guess the problem was Facebook was doing it without consent. Surely the solution is to try and get that consent somehow rather than chop a whole feature, which is potentially useful for some people.
It does seem a bit extreme that we've generally had it, and for all the privacy worries, nothing's really bubbled up to be a particularly bad issue. I can't think of anything
not
that's
yet.
Jumped. Not yet, but it's been running for quite a while.
Maps
was running for 2 minutes and it became.
You still don't know where the information's being collated. That's
no,
the
thing,
you know, and what they're using for signals and stuff, and though, you know, them out there. Or mind readers, if you look at that
video.
That
was the best one ever.
Yeah.
Yes. So that was
I retweeted that, not knowing that you had already retweeted that around. So sorry if everyone got it twice, but yeah.
There's loads of people retweeting it. So this was it Belgium? Was it Dutch?
Somewhere was
foreigners,
speaking
European.
Funny.
It was a European. And
I remember that. I remember that. I remember that.
Heard the girl.
Yeah.
And shocking.
Yeah.
I think we've just been racist in some way.
We probably have. Sorry.
But basically it was a pretend mind reader, and the reveal was that they just basically looked at their social network and found out all this information.
5-6 people mining the internet to try and find out as much as possible about them in a short space. How much it was staged, who knows, but it's quite interesting to watch. So yeah, your information is out there, be careful of it.
Well, it was all the crazy people with, like, when they were getting their Amex gold or black cards in America, and they were putting them up online. Remember their Twitter account?
Yes.
You know, so there's loads of people that just say, yeah, I've got my card.
So anyway, I guess they just felt it was easiest to just chop the feature off Facebook rather than actually go through the hassle of trying to figure out how to make everyone consent to it effectively. Anyway, so that's one.
They're also, just a little one, they're also ditching, or they're trying to clean up on the kind of fake likes and fake accounts that are around as well.
So they've been doing that for a long time now. And
they've went public this week saying that we're doing it in earnest.
Right. So we'll see, we'll probably see 500 million accounts go down to 300,000 real Facebook users. I doubt it. Twitter's policy changes have sort of had another effect again this week for if this then that, IFTTT.
Yes.
And effectively the policies of Twitter now say that you can't consume, well, they don't say, they've always said it, but they're enforcing now the, you cannot go and store your tweets elsewhere effectively. So there were triggers inside that application, which I think it was your pick at one time.
It was, and I do use it for, there's a few things that
maybe you should just quickly say what it is, just because there's been a few people that don't know.
So if this then that is, I think I've got it on my tab actually. So basically it allows a whole load of recipes and it allows you to kind of mash up different web services. So if I go to the different channels it supports, as an example, so it's Twitter, Facebook, Evernote, email, RSS feeds, Delicious. There's a date and time one. There's a weather one. There's a share price one. So you can do things like, it supports SMS as well. So you can do things like give me a text message when my company's share price goes above £4. And you'll get a text through it instantly, it goes above it. So it's a kind of mashup of all these. So you could do other things like if I favorite something in Google Reader, automatically save that in my Evernote account.
And I guess, and in this particular case, the things that we're going to lose are if I post something on Twitter, store it in my, or post it up to Facebook as well.
Yes.
So, but the other way around's fine. You could do it if I post to Facebook, then tweet it out. That still exists.
Yes.
But Twitter are trying to hold on and make sure that people don't go and store their Twitter data elsewhere. So that's, and I think I'm right in saying that the policy's been in place for, you know, since for a long while now. But they are,
yeah, that's
part
not
of this crackdown. They are now starting to contact these companies and say you can't do it anymore.
Yeah. So everybody said this was due to the API changes, but it's nothing to do with the API changes. I think it's been in breach of the policy for a long, long time. It's just a policy that sucks. And it's interesting, if you go to app.net, which I know you ridicule and laugh at, but every second post has got a hashtag, if this, then that, because people are cross-posting, because there's not enough conversation on app.net. You know, there's not enough, you know, if you've got like 50 followers and only two have moved over, you still want to have the conversation with the other 48 on Twitter, and people don't want to type it in twice. So they're using a lot of these cross-posting tools, and that has its advantages and disadvantages. Yes, it keeps the conversation flowing, but also it's, for the person that's also following you in both services, it's just a lot of duplication.
Yeah.
And it's also dumb duplication. So anybody, if I mention your name on Twitter, it's meaningless on app.net. And it's things like that where it's like, it's, you know, this cross posting, it's a bit sucky. But it's a shame because it's a real, there's a lot of power that came from this, because lots of other accounts or lots of other services tied in with Twitter as well. So it was a real powerful.
And we're going to see more and more of these announcements from companies saying we can't do it. And to their credit, the CEO of If This and That, Lyndon Tibbetts, which is a fantastic name. So Mr. Tibbetts pretty much said, look, we have to take it away because, you know, we have to accept that company doesn't want to use its data in that particular way. We think it's a shame. But, you know, it's up to them. They can do whatever they like with their data. So,
and one interesting thing was Dick Costello, another great name, who's the CEO of Twitter, has kind of said if his engineers do meet the deadlines that they've said they'll meet, they hope by the end of this year there'll be a way of getting an archive of all your tweets out of Twitter.
Yes, so you will be able to go.
That's been missing up to
now. I was going to say, and maybe if you can do things like that easily through Twitter, then some of the reason for storing your tweets elsewhere, you know, could be taken away.
Some people just want their Twitter history. You know, they've put 10,000 tweets in and they just want to extract it so they can archive it somewhere.
But most of the time, you know, posting Twitter elsewhere is to keep a conversation going. Like most people, or I know a lot of people who put their tweets into Facebook. And that's where the conversation then happens. And I guess that's what Twitter are trying to stop. But the thing is, conversations inside Twitter are not the same thing, you know. You don't have like a nested set of comments underneath each tweet.
And I think you're absolutely right. If you look at the iPad app that got updated last week, instead of clicking on a link to go to YouTube, you click on the tweet and the video is loaded within the tweet on the iPad app. So it's keeping you inside Twitter instead of jumping out to somewhere else and then thinking, oh, I'll just go and do something else.
To be honest, though, I'm not sure that Twitter needs that conversation because it's not that kind of service. I think the conversation works better when it's tweeted and then conversed on in Facebook. Again, from a consumer point of view, that's perfect. But, you know, they're not thinking that. They're just that's out of their control, really. More tablets coming over. So we're now starting to see some more American tablets coming over here, really. So Barnes & Noble are bringing their Nook HD. So they announced that they were going to bring over their reader a little while back, and now they're also bringing over their tablet. This is a kind of similar idea to the Amazon Fire. but, I mean, it's based around Android again, but it's quite locked down. So you can't actually download from Google's Play Store and you can't download from Amazon. So the idea is it is just a consumption device, but it's quite cheap. So it's only 229 quid. So it's cheaper than Apple by a long way, and cheaper than the Galaxy Tab as well. So it's kind of a cheap way of getting a tablet as long as you're willing to be locked down and into the Barnes & Noble network, which we don't know too much, or I don't know too much, about how extensive that is, really. It doesn't sound like it's going to be that massive, but, you know.
I guess, and interestingly, November is when this is coming over. So this is a brand new tablet, or it's two brand new tablets, actually. There's a 7-inch and a 9-inch. So that is one advantage over the Fire, because we're getting the Fire HD 7-inch, but not the 9-inch from Amazon. So it does give them something a bit more unique. It's a bit like you're saying, I can't see people looking at a Barnes & Noble and thinking, yeah, I'll take that over Amazon or Google or Apple.
If someone was asking, if it wasn't just a spur of the moment decision to go and buy, or if money wasn't particularly the massive, massive issue, why would you recommend it? In fact, I don't know how I would recommend a tablet to anyone now anyway, other than just saying, go buy the iPad. You'd be stupid not to. It's too, you know, they say choice is good. Well, we also plenty of times spouted the fact that choice can be confusing as well.
And I think
that's where we're getting.
And I think this is going to confuse. I mean, that 7-inch kind of tablet market is just all a bit odd. I keep telling people, go and get a Nexus. If you want something small and cheap, go and buy a Nexus.
Yeah, because that's, you know, it's open and it's along, you know, it's as open as you can get with this operating system. I mean, if someone's just after a nice, easy way to consume media, then maybe the Amazon offering is great. But why would then... That we've already got that, so why would then you go and say to someone, buy the Barnes & Noble one? It'd have to be pretty compelling.
Yeah, and it looked pretty ugly as well.
Right.
Oh, it's maybe a bit harsh. It's probably a bit harsh. It just looked a bit ugly.
They're selling in Sainsbury's, as well as a few other places.
Bless. Oh, that bookstore called Blackwell's that I've never heard of. That's where.
And Blackwell's, yeah, which is famous down here.
I'm
not going to list out all the places it sells. Just go and do a search online. It's easier.
Yeah.
Samsung. We talked about Samsung very briefly back then. I don't know. Did I?
Samsung.
I don't know. I've just probably been Samsung. But a bug got uncovered, quite a serious bug, which meant that by sending someone to a URL on your Samsung handset, you could factory reset.
Without asking for permission?
No, but you just went to a website and that was it. You got your phone got factory reset. Now, I don't know if it actually got used in the wild. I think it was just found by someone, and luckily it was found by someone who didn't want to use it for, like, he just wanted to say how clever he was for finding it. He didn't actually want to go and wipe everyone's handset. But it was actually a problem with TouchWiz, which is something that Samsung put over the top of Android and, you know, add their own bits and bobs here and there.
I'm just double checking this. The Verge posted up yesterday, it also affected a really old HTC device.
All right, okay. Maybe they stole some code.
There we go. It affected. There you go. Also, the 1X running HTC Sense 4.
1X was quite a big, you know, big release.
That was this year. Yeah, yeah. So it seemed to be the Android dialer more than anything else. But the bug was corrected in Android earlier this year, but because they're using an older version of Android, they're maybe prone to...
And it was something to do with the dialer being able to dial a number without confirmation being sent by the user. And say Android Core has had that updated, but this extra layer and the old Android still had that as a problem.
And Samsung, to the credit, I mean, and I didn't mention devices. S2 was affected, S3 in America was affected, but not the UK. And there's a couple other devices in there as well.
Yes, the Galaxy S3, not to be confused with the Galaxy S3.
Yeah, but most, if not all, Gingerbread phones or newer running TouchWiz will be vulnerable, was the kind of generic, this is what can be possibly affected.
So if you're running a Samsung or an old, you know, you basically just go for your over-the-air updates as soon as you can, just to make sure you can't be reset.
And I could be a real bitch and say, hey, nice being open.
You could be, but you'd be a real bitch. Guardian, now they've got a really clever idea. They're worried that they're running out of money.
Really?
Yep.
Because they've made a loss the last sort of, what, decade or
and
something?
And they're trying to work out how they're going to make some money again. So what they want to do is they want to take everyone's internet bills and increase them by £2 a month.
But everyone, you mean everybody that reads The Guardian? Or
everyone? Oh, no, just everyone. And what they'll do is they'll make a really nice big pot of money and just willy-nilly distribute it out to, let's say, The Guardian and anyone else who's got big readership online.
All right, so basically I'd be paying for the Daily Mail.
You would, and I know how much you'd enjoy it.
Excellent.
Can you imagine how much fun that would be, giving away £2 a month to the Daily Mail?
Good job.
And it doesn't say... Can I just say piss off? Don't you dare. I mean, if I say you've got to figure out how to get my money out of me by offering me something that I want to buy. I completely understand that it's a difficult thing. And we, you know, print journalism seems, you know, how are they going to make money from it? But they're not going to do it this way because I ain't giving my money to someone bad.
No. What I quite liked was the way it was like, the article started off, has David Lee cracked it? And I'm like, cracked what? And who's David Lee? Who turns out to be another Guardian journalist. So it was a Guardian journalist talking about a Guardian journalist's idea of charging everybody £2. Crazy. I mean, the music industry talked about this and the film industry talked about this. You know, it's like, all these people stealing the content, we should just charge a levy and then we'll be fine. We'll just tax you for all this money.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
But again, they now have got the streaming method. You know, they got it down.
Yep.
And the thing is, it's hard if I don't know how to solve the problem. I can't work out how to solve the problem. But then again, I don't have to. It's not my problem to solve. I would be upset if journalism went down the pan. I think it's important to have good journalism.
But this isn't good journalism, and I wouldn't pay for this bloody nonsense getting delivered to me every day if it was crap like this.
No, I mean, and taking money and just dishing it out based on viewer numbers is just the worst. It doesn't solve a problem at all. That just means that you get the equivalent of link baiting just to get viewers on. You know, that's, you get even more crappy journalism rather than stuff.
And see, the worst bit about this, it wasn't just we want a tax to save our industry, it was a broadband levy to fund journalism. So it'd obviously been worded, you know, let's rose tinted glass on this, we are saving an industry here, we are going to protect it, we're going to build on it, Britain has a great tradition of this, and everybody in the country should be.
When it comes to journalism and you know, news reporting, everyone knows that the general public clearly read absolute tripe most of the time.
And that's why, I mean, Daily Mail is
let's
now...
Let's not listen to them about who to give the money to.
I mean, Daily Mail is the biggest... I think it's the biggest paper on the web now. It's got the most traffic of any paper in the world.
Nuts.
And it's like, what?
Nuts. But yeah, it's not going to help journalism. They need to figure out a different way.
And I'm pretty sure it was most of the kind of press that shot down the music industry talking about this for years and years and years and saying it won't work. You need to go and fix your model.
Same time that we're getting these levy ideas coming through, also News Corp kind of, they're backing away from the blocks on Google. So they went through a whole series again. This is probably 2 years ago now. They went through a whole stage of saying, right, Google's stealing our content because it's showing it in search results and aggregating it into news feeds and stuff like that. So they ended up blocking Google. and stopping them from showing any content. And then they whacked a paywall in the way. So that if you wanted to see as a consumer any of its content, you had to pay. Now, I don't know the figures, and I don't think anyone knows the figures, but it hasn't been a great success. they've lost, I mean, all we do know is they lost masses and masses of users from their, you know, the number of eyeballs that were eyeballing it before to post doing this system. They lost a lot of people. But basically, they've stepped back a little way from that. They've now said that Google can index their content and show a 2 or 3 line preview in search results. But if you do click on that result, you will then get taken to a blocker. You have to pay your money.
And it kind of makes sense. I think the New York Times worked that way. Or sorry, Wall Street Journal, which is another News Corp publication. So I'm guessing they've been trialing different models with different...
Yep.
Different, you know, titles throughout the world, and this is probably the one that's working out. They'll advertise the content so people know it's there. I mean, the amount of times on Twitter I'll see somebody saying paywall blocked after a link, and it's like, well, there's not even any point clicking on it. I don't pay for it.
No, exactly. It's so frustrating when you follow a link and you get to a paywall, because, like I say, you're not gonna pay the paywall. You're just gonna go back again, but it's wasted your time. Never mind.
Oh,
yeah, waste my time. I'll charge them for wasting my time. And I don't like the new Facebook stuff. When you click on it, it says you have to accept app permissions to go and see something. Piss off.
No,
get rid of that.
No, but I didn't like all that stuff where it was like, as soon as you started reading an article, it was basically, it was shared out that Ian has read this. No, yeah, he's read the first line.
Not even that. I've clicked on it and got blocked because I didn't want to accept the app permissions, and it's still telling everyone that I read it. I didn't.
Yes.
Honestly, I didn't read that.
yeah, exactly.
Nintendo, another death throw, isn't it? so they've come along and said their Wii U will be region locked. So this was a question that went out, and Nintendo have had, although they've had region locking before, it's kind of been easy to get around, but they've kind of said, no, you're only able to play games in your region.
Well, they've always had region locking more than, and I guess all the companies did at one point. But Microsoft and Sony have basically said, what's the point?
They've all got region locking. It's just up to the developer or whatever, if they want to put it in place. And
I wasn't going to add this to it in because we are very negative in Nintendo. It's hard.
We've
to
been
be.
A bit harsh, but then everyone is. We're only telling you what other people are saying.
I feel the way we are about Nintendo is the way you are about maps.
Yeah.
And I'll just wave that iPhone in front of you. I've got a case now. I'm all right.
All that beautiful design.
That beautiful design hidden behind a
20% thinner, so that you could add a case to it and it's still no bigger.
I agreed with you. If it was 20% thicker and a better battery life, it would have been even better iPhone. You and Fat Johnny. I just thought this is... I mean, models like Apple, Android, you know, this worldwide... I mean, if you think about it, you're a developer. Your app goes out to the whole world, like today. You know, when that new... Whatever the new follow-up to Angry Birds is, Fat Pigs or whatever they're called, or Pig Bridge Building.
I haven't
nonsense.
Even heard about this.
They're bringing out a new one today.
Finger on the pulse.
which is you are the pig and you build bridges. But it's a 24-hour release cycle, and it starts in Australia and it, you know, ends in America, and it's... It's amazing when you think about that, releasing to...
Yeah, you as a little developer
million?
Can... Yeah, that someone
scary.
In the middle of the, out of the back and beyond can actually still listen or play your app. Yeah, it's amazing.
And what's also amazing is you think that little developer, and he's not like, he's obviously got hundreds of people working for him now after the success of Angry Birds, but they can pump out a game like that. You think back to all the games that you say, it's going to take us 6 months to convert all the audio and that into Europe. Europe's such a difficult place to, because Nintendo and Sega and Sony always used to do that.
Yeah.
We do want to bring it, but you know, by the time we do that conversion of audio, it will take some time, and all the different languages need to sort bollocks.
Yeah.
And this is why I'm so negative about it.
It was harder though in the days when you couldn't do over-the-air updates. I mean, see, games is much easier now to correct something if you get something wrong. When you had those plastic cartridges, that was it. Playtesting must have been awful. But anyway, so yes, they're region locking everything, and we don't think it's a good idea.
No.
Borderlands, after having told everyone for the last however many weeks that I'm over gaming and really it's nothing for me anymore, I sold off at hugely silly prices my games to, I traded them in. It took about 16 to 20 old games to get two new ones.
You didn't sell Halo?
No, I think I've still got that. Plus, it would only worth about 50p or something. Anyway, so yeah, Borderlands I'm playing at the moment, which is, it's got universally good reviews and it is fun to play. It's a great little game. I say it's not even little, it's massive. Sort of a combination between a first person shooter and I guess a role playing type idea. So you level up and you have loot and stuff like that. But yeah, good fun. I'm enjoying it. You played good. Any games?
FIFA. Yes, I gave extra money.
I was going to say, it's not even out yet.
I gave extra money to EA so I could get it a week early because I was off holiday this week.
You're encouraging them.
Yep, I was off on holiday this week and I thought, yep, I'll pay to be a beta tester. I'll download that game. And I've been enjoying it thoroughly. It's been very good.
And you will do up until the point that everyone else buys the game from the shop and suddenly everything crashes.
No, it's actually got some nice tweaks from last year that, you know, a couple that we'd talked about, you know, we being the guys that are playing FIFA in our little group, that actually make it a lot more pleasurable. Is that the right word?
Something like that. Anyway, okay.
Not as bad as hearing that the Flood are a part of multiplayer Halo 4.
Yeah, we'll see.
I saw that and I was just like,
If they've got to fill in the backstory, then the Flood have got to be part of it, right?
No.
Anyway, let's go and have a quick pick from you.
Jasmine is the name of an app. It's out on iOS for both iPad and iPhone, and it's a YouTube client. So YouTube's disappeared as part of iOS 6, and Google brought out their own YouTube client on iPhone.
Have they?
Because
I couldn't find that the other day.
Yeah, it's there.
Okay, I'm just thinking.
as we all expected, the Google one's like, you know, full of adverts and links elsewhere and comments and you know, lots of stuff happening. Jasmine's just a really, really clean. There's a video, click play. You can search, you can log in, so you can get all your subscriptions and all your favorites and all that kind of good stuff. And really nice, really, really nice, and it's free.
So search for Jasmine, Jasmine. We'll have a look at jasmineapp.com.
I don't even know if the website's there at the moment. And the last time I was, it was like coming soon. Yeah, it's coming soon.
All right, well, don't go there then. Yeah. Just go download the app. That's what you want to do. And that's the end of our podcast for today. So as ever, we are on the web, www.digitaloutbox.com. We can receive your emails, and we do with glee and happiness. info@digitaloutbox.com. And if you ever happen to tweet or Skype us, then we'll probably fall over in amazement. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. Where can we find you?
Website is eend.net. I'm on Twitter as Sweeper.
1 week to go for my car. I'm getting excited. In fact, yeah, this could be the last time I podcast for a little while. Yep. We'll see. I'm going to try and come back if my car's not taking over my life.
We could just guess the news for the next 3 weeks and do another couple tonight.
Yeah. see how good we are at that. Anyway,
Windows 8 buggy.
Yeah, not so good on Surface. Rubbish in general. Anyway, let's not try and predict the news, and let's speak to you next week, hopefully, and see you then.
Bye. Job done.
I do hope that I have got some time to podcast. I
can't. Oh, I'm sure you're fine.
I surely can't spend all my time in a garage.